Welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast, Introduction to Organizational Performance Measures. Hi, I'm Nathan Ives. Along with my co-host, Howard Dickens, we would like to welcome you to this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, Introduction to Organizational Performance Measures. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve better results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag posts found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. This podcast serves as a foundation for an upcoming series of podcasts on the best practices associated with organizational performance measures. During this foundational cast, Howard and I will provide some background perspective on organizational performance measures, as well as discuss the overarching qualities and characteristics of well-constructed performance measures that foster organizational focus and alignment to the accomplishment of mission goals. So now, without further delay, let's get started. Howard, how you doing?
I'm doing super. How are you?
Hey, I'm very good.
All right, that's good to hear. Man, I know you're doing good, man. We're about to wrap up 2007.
Just a few more days to go. And
four to be exact.
Okay. Well, 4 days and episode 5 is what we're working on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now that's exciting.
Oh, it is. And our numbers keep coming up. You know,
Where are they at now?
Well, you know, earlier this week, we had 182 downloads in one day.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Just tremendous. And I don't imagine that puts us on top of the heap, but, you know, I'm feeling really good about here only having, you know, a handful of episodes out, and already we're close to having 200 folks downloading us on one day.
And, what does that say? What does that say to you?
Well, you know, it just tells me people are really interested in becoming strategy driven. You know, they
really
want to know how to create that mission that's meaningful, that it speaks to people, it creates a focus and a commitment to the act of achievement through the efforts of their people on a day-to-day basis. So I'm really excited. And, you know, that 182 doesn't even speak to the next day we had 140 downloads, and the other days after it was in the 110, 120 range. So we are getting a lot of traffic.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm happy, yeah.
That's fantastic. I'm happy. I mean, you know, last time we talked about making the mission measurable and prioritizing the mission. And I mean that in itself, it's just so there was such rich information that we were sharing, and I'm really excited. I was excited about that, and I'm really excited about today's show. And with no further ado, I'd like to ask a question.
Oh, well, let's kick it off. Sure.
You know, I mean, everyone has their definition of what what organizational performance measures are.
Mm-hmm.
What is your definition of organizational performance measures?
Oh, okay. Well, Howard, my definition, so the one we're going to work off of for this and several of the next coming podcasts, is that we're going to say that organizational performance measures are the quantifiable means of assessing important characteristics of a company's products and services and the performance of the individuals and processes that create those products and services or otherwise support the organization in creating those products and services.
Mm.
Now, just to give a few examples.
That's good.
Okay, so if we're talking about products and services, we might have performance measures that measure customer satisfaction. If we want to compare them with how we're performing against competitors, we might have some performance measures that do a comparison of a cost per option with a given product. So say we're manufacturing automobiles. We may say, hey, for a mid-sized passenger car that has anti-lock brakes, 200 horsepower, so on and so on, look at our cost versus the cost of a competitor.
That's good.
Now, we also want to measure the efficiency and the effectiveness of our processes and our individuals. So we might look at things like the cost to produce this given product. In our example here, how much does it cost us to produce this automobile? How much does it cost in warranty repairs? How much does it cost for the end user to operate this particular product? And again, we can compare that to our competitors to not only measure our effectiveness in manufacturing this product, but then how are we stacking up against our competitors? Now then, the ultimate measures. You know, we've spent four podcasts talking about making the mission measurable and prioritizing it.
Right.
Part of the whole reason of making the mission measurable is so that we can measure it. And so if we're thinking very high level, we might want a measure that looks at return on invested capital. Here's all the money that we are putting into this company, this organization, and what is the return we're earning back on that investment that we're then able to return to our stakeholders. So we're going to have those mission measures. Well, those are performance indicators, and, and we're going to be measuring those. And again, you know, a lot of those sorts of measures are recorded and published by companies in things like their annual reports and the like, again, because they affect the stakeholders. So just as in all the other measures, we can compare our performance to that of competitors. Now, there's one other thing I think I might like to highlight here as we talk about the definition of organizational performance measures.
Okay.
Okay. I think we often think of performance measures as being some sort of colorful graph or chart.
Right.
And they're often, you know, one of those kind of visual representations. But performance measures can be simply a numeric piece of data that's listed tabularly, like in an annual report. They can also be qualification type of information. It doesn't always have to be numbers. If we think of data, for instance, as presented by Consumer Reports in the rating of a product, let's say with our automobile product for the time being, where they give ratings of poor, fair, good, very good, excellent. You know, those are qualitative measures. And certainly, those are performance indicators. And so they're not always numeric. They can be qualitative. So we want to keep that in mind as we talk about performance measures, that they can have these other qualities or take on these other forms.
That's good. Now, Nathan, I'm sure our listeners would like to know your perspective on why we use organizational performance measures. I mean, what's their value?
Okay. And you know, Howard, performance measures, just like the making the mission measurable and prioritizing the mission, are key to helping us make our organization be strategy-driven. To do that, we're going to use these measures, and they're going to first provide us with information that we need to control and improve our organization's performance. A well-constructed performance measurement system is going to help us also create a focus and align the organization around the accomplishment of our mission goals. And we're going to discuss that concept of well-constructed performance measurement system in later podcasts. But again, because they're just in short going to cascade down from our mission measure and become ever more specific, they're going to drive behaviors to achieving these performance measures, which ultimately then drive up to the mission measure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to say that organizational performance measures support us in the control and improvement of our organization is really to say that they're supporting decision making. And so I want to elaborate on this answer a little bit more by saying that they're going to help us effectively implement or make decisions in three primary ways.
Okay.
So first, we use performance measures to determine our progress towards stated goals and to signal when we've reached those goals.
Okay.
Second, we're going to use performance measures to help us identify when action is needed based on, you know, our reaching some sort of parameter or threshold that we've predefined.
Okay.
And they, and that might also alert us to a particular problem, but it could also signal us that we need to move forward with, say, a new initiative that we might be looking at. Third, we use them as a way to compare ourselves to, one, high performance standards, and two, other organizations that we're competing with in order to help us identify improvement opportunities. So, again, it's all about decision-making, and I know we talk a lot about decision-making.
Right.
Performance measures are going to help us make decisions, and because they're cascaded down from the mission and the mission measures, they're going to help us make decisions at all levels of the organization, which, again, as we've talked about before, is very important.
Wow. That's good, Nathan. That's really good. And, you know, those sound like rather broad categories.
Yes.
Could you give us some examples of performance measures?
Oh, sure. And Howard, you're absolutely right. Those were pretty broad categories. So let's just go through those three examples and get some specifics. So in the first example, we said we're going to use performance measures to determine progress toward a stated goal. So let me switch industries for the sole purpose of variety. Say we're now managers or executives at an airline.
Okay.
And one of the things that's very important to us is the turnaround time associated with our aircraft. And it's important because we want to have on-time flights. And, of course, if we have a shorter turnaround time, we can actually have airplanes in the air more, and we can make more legs with one aircraft. And so say we have an initiative to improve turnaround time. Mm-hmm. Well, we might establish a performance measure to look at the amount of time it takes us to onboard passengers. We might have a performance measure for the amount of time it takes us to offload and unload luggage. And we use those performance measures then to tell us how well we're doing in an improvement initiative. I'm a frequent flyer, a very frequent platinum flyer on Delta. Delta takes good care of me. They take me all over the world. And Delta, some time ago, switched from boarding by rows to boarding in what they call zones. And so it was an initiative. It's a new program that they've implemented. And just as an innocent observer who sits on airplanes and goes through the boarding process, I can honestly say that it does seem to me to be much faster to board by zone than it was by the previous traditional way of boarding by rows. And so that's an example of how here they had an improvement initiative, and then they measured progress toward that initiative. The initiative, faster turnaround time, one of the projects, speed up passenger onboarding process, and so you measure the amount of time it takes to onboard passengers. Okay. So that's example of our first one.
That's good.
Okay. The second one we said we're going to identify when action is needed, and let's stay here with the airlines. Well, as we've all experienced, there's been rising fuel prices. And we as an airline are very dependent on fuel. And so in an environment of volatile fuel prices, we've probably purchased some options to buy fuel at a cost of X.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden we see a spike in fuel prices, and it's significantly above that option execution price of X. Well, at a predefined threshold, we would then choose to exercise that option to buy fuel from the person or the organization selling us those options at that lower price. And so that, again, is the second case where we use performance measures, and based on a threshold assigned to a previously defined threshold, when we have a parameter, in this case fuel prices, exceed that threshold value, we take some action. And in our example, the action we took was to exercise those fuel options so that we get fuel at lower cost and can hold down our ticket prices. The third example, or the third case, we said we wanted to compare ourselves with the performance of other organizations. So again, staying with the airlines, let's take a look again at the aircraft turnaround time. That's something that is readily observable. Mm-hmm. So if I'm Delta Airlines, and I want to compare myself, say, to Southwest Airlines, I merely need to stand there by a Southwest Airlines gate for a flight and watch the aircraft pull up. And when the offloading platform aligns up with the plane, I can start my stopwatch, and I can stand there and wait until that plane is boarded and the loading ramp is pulled away from the plane and stop the stopwatch, and I can measure how long their turnaround time is.
Mm.
I can do likewise the same with my airplanes and figure out what my average turnaround time is. And so
okay.
I can create a comparative basis for comparing my performance to that of a competitor. And then that lets me know my relative standing as compared to those competitors. Now, I'm giving an example of how I can go out and get data just by public observation of things. There's other ways. There's a lot of publicly available information, as I mentioned before, and things like annual reports, or in our case, the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, publishes data on the on-time records of airlines and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
we can pull data in and do that comparison with other organizations. So those would be some examples of those three very specific cases of how we can use performance measures.
All right. Right. Great examples. So let me ask you this. What makes a good performance measure?
Well, Howard, I find that performance measures best serve an organization when they have a couple of very specific qualities. And the ones I look for are the performance measures need to be understandable. So if they're very abstract, that in some sort of mathematical equation no one can really relate to, that kind of blows them out of the water. So they need to be understandable. They need to be broadly applicable. So if it's a performance measure that only applies to one person, well, it'll be important to that one person, but not the organization. And we are talking about organizational performance measures.
Right, right.
So we want them to be broadly applicable. They also have to be uniformly interpreted, which means that if they apply to me and they apply to you, you and I must be able to go up to the performance measure and read it and be able to come away with the same understanding. So, an upward trend would not mean good to you and bad to me.
Mm-hmm.
We have to come away with the same interpretation. And then they need to be economic to apply. I've seen organizations that invest huge sums of money in the way of personnel resources, crunching numbers and building tables and spreadsheets and the like to come up with performance measures. And organizations that I think benefit from them are the ones that benefit from the analysis of the performance measures and the decision-making that they drive, not from the number crunching that goes into making fancy charts and spreadsheets and tables. So being economic to apply is inferring that it should be an economic way for us to actually create the performance measures, because we really want to spend our time doing analysis and making decisions. Now, as we've mentioned before, performance measures should cascade through the organization's hierarchy, such that the achievement of our low-tiered performance measures supports the achievement of the next higher-tier performance measure, and so on, all the way up to the company's mission, which, as we've talked about in previous podcasts, are the mission measures, which we've prioritized. And so those together make up what I think are really the best high-quality kind of performance measure qualities.
Mm. Now, Nathan, I assume we wouldn't be talking about organizational performance measures if they didn't really help improve our organizational alignment.
So
what specific characteristics or features should organizational performance measures have to help create organizational alignment?
Mm-hmm. Well, Howard, you're absolutely right. Organizational performance measures should fundamentally serve to drive organizational alignment to the achievement of that business's mission. And then as such, you know, really organizational performance measures should cascade, as we've talked about just a moment ago, from the corporate or the organization level all the way down to the individual level, becoming more specific as they descend through each organizational tier.
Sure.
Now, because each successive level of measurement supports achievement of the next higher level, organizational performance measures have to share a certain set of characteristics.
Okay, what are they?
Okay. Well, there's three of them.
Okay.
First, they have to be organizationally relevant. They have to have a clear relationship, and that is they have to clearly relate or be understandable as to how they relate to the effective, efficient achievement of the organization's mission. Mm-hmm. And they must also be relevant to the individuals to which they're assigned. Mm-hmm. Now, we just talked about turnaround time for an aircraft.
For the airline example. Okay.
So let me go back to that and organizational relevance. Turnaround time speaks to things like on-time airline departures, which is really important to customers. And, you know, if it's really important to customers and it drives sales, ultimately that helps drive the profitability of the airline. So it's very organizationally relevant at the high level. We talked about boarding passengers, and we talked about turnaround time associated with loading and offloading of luggage. So we have our turnaround time is like a higher tier, and then maybe one tier below would be loading and offloading of luggage. That's specific to the luggage handlers. Loading and offloading passengers, that's very specific to our flight attendants and our support staff in the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So it's relevant to the organization. People can understand, gee, if I do my job well, mm-hmm. and I do well on my performance measure, the specific one that's assigned to me, I can see how that helps speed turnaround time for the aircraft. And then I can see how having good turnaround time for the aircraft gives me good on-time performance of the aircraft, gives me higher customer satisfaction, gives me more customers, gives me more profitability for the organization.
Mm.
So organizationally relevant all the way through the organization to where I as a person have a line of sight and an understanding of how my performance affects the measures which I'm judged by, affects the overall performance of my company.
Very nice. Very nice.
Okay? Now, the second one is they have to have consistent units of measure. And that way you can enable a correlation of that lower tiered measure with the next higher tier measure. So in turnaround time, we would have a measure of time. So time to board passengers, time to offload and unload luggage,
mm-hmm.
time to the higher tiered measure of turnaround time total for the aircraft. So they roll up. There is some transitions that take place. We talked about going from on-time flights to customer satisfaction. We would use something like customer satisfaction surveys to determine the relative importance of that characteristic and other aspects of our airline's performance to customer satisfaction. And then we would give a weighted value to, on-time flights to customer satisfaction. And it would be a feeder to that in a weighted sense. So customer satisfaction would be an index having several different weighted categories. And so we use the concept of indexing into customer satisfaction. But again, it's the units of measure have to be consistent enough that we have some way to relate on-time flights to customer satisfaction. And the white paper series, as a plug for the white paper series, talks about that specifically for registered members to check out online. So consistent units of measures, let us roll up. Then the last one is, again, one of the qualities we talked about before. They need to be uniformly and precisely interpretable. So they have to have a common meaning for all personnel at all levels of the organization. Let's think about this in our airline example.
Okay.
If I'm the luggage crew for aircraft A on Delta, and I'm the luggage crew for aircraft B on Delta, my performance measure is uniformly interpretable and applicable to both crews. It's the amount of time it takes me to onload and offload a given aircraft. If I'm trying to compare a 747 to a 727, much smaller aircraft, I might have some compensating factor that accounts for my onload and offload time. So in that case, I might compare all the crews loading and offloading 727s to each other and compare all the 747 crews to other 747 crews to give respect to the fact that, well, different size of aircraft is going to have different amount of luggage to be loaded and offloaded. But we have to make those distinctions so that these measures are uniformly and precisely interpretable by the crews and applicable across the board. And if a 747 is twice as big as a 727, well, then I might take and compare their performance times, giving that, either the 727 I might have to double, or the 747 I might reduce by a factor of half. But they have to be uniformly and precisely interpretable. The other piece, we've talked about it horizontally across the organization. We need to think of it vertically too. So in other words, the CEO understands exactly what is meant when we talk about turnaround time of an aircraft. And that draws the same impression or meaning for that individual as it does the luggage handler who's loading the items on and off the airplane. Okay. So in summary to the question, in truly aligned organizations, performance and decisions are driven by common purpose. Companies having performance measures that are organizationally relevant, use consistent units of measures, and are uniformly and precisely interpretable are better positioned to achieve the vertical and horizontal alignment needed to achieve its mission. So in essence, they're in a better position to be strategy driven. So that's why organizationally relevant, consistent units of measures, and uniformly and precisely interpretable are key important features that we need to have.
Outstanding. I mean, outstanding. This is such rich information. Let me see if I can really bring this together for our listeners. Okay.
Okay.
Now we said that organizational performance measures provide quantifiable means of assessing important characteristics of a company's products and services, and the performance of the individuals and processes creating or otherwise supporting the creation of these products and services. Right.
That's right.
Now we also talked about organizational performance measures are valuable because they provide us with information we need to control and improve our organization's performance. And that a well-constructed performance measurement system will focus and align the organization to the accomplishment of mission goals.
That's correct.
Right? Right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, check this out. The best performance measures are understandable,
mm-hmm.
broadly applicable,
yes,
uniformly interpreted,
mm-hmm.
and economic to apply.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay. And finally, organizational performance measures should be organizationally relevant,
mm-hmm.
consistent in their units of measure,
yes,
and uniformly and precisely interpretable to allow for, I love this, vertical cascading and horizontal sharing, which in turn fosters organizational alignment.
That's correct. That's correct.
Powerful. That's powerful.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about vertical cascading and horizontal sharing of performance measures in our upcoming podcast specifically. Because those are really important. Really important.
Great. Great. Nathan, this is a powerful podcast right here. I can't wait to get the feedback from our listeners on this one.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. And this is really one that is starting to move us down to where the rubber meets the road.
I could tell that. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this is a great way to close out 2007, Nathan.
It sure is. It sure is. And I'm looking forward to another great year in 2008.
Absolutely. Well, hey, my friend, you have a wonderful 2008. I know we're getting together for lunch tomorrow, right?
That's right.
All
that's
right.
Right.
Well,
we
are. That's fantastic. I'll be looking forward to getting together with you for lunch. And I know that we both have some big plans for 2008. Well, I wish you a successful 2008. And to our listeners, I wish you a super-tastic 2008 and hope that you and your organizations will be strategy-driven.
That's right. Take care, Howard.
You too now, buddy.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast and would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. Note that additional information regarding organizational performance measures is contained within the many organizational performance measures white papers accessible by registered members on the Strategy Driven website. Registered members also gain access to the many other strategy-driven white papers, models, and members-only categories, and registration is always free. So until next time, so long.